Good morning. You heard that, didn't you? Yeah, great. Well, first of all, welcome to worship. We are the lucky ones. There's so many people from the church at the moment who are unwell. A number have got COVID, some are recovering from COVID. But you and I, here we are. And, well, welcome to worship, and may we receive a blessing as we worship together. Tea and coffee. Got to get important first. Tea and coffee is available in the community hall immediately following our worship this morning. Due to holidays, health, age, family commitments, and people coming back for messy church, we are not able to hold the open air today. So there's an opportunity for you to talk to the band, the few of them that are here this morning, and have enjoyed a cup of coffee together. Then comes Easter. Well, I've already mentioned it starts today with Messy Church. And, well, you can come along this afternoon at 3 o'clock to Messy Church. Then Easter starts this coming week on Tuesday to Thursday from 9:30 till 3 p.m. each of those days. There are Easter reflections at the cross, and there will be prayer stations throughout this hall, and you're welcome to come at any time during 9:30 and 3, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, to join in and go through the prayers for Easter. On Good Friday, we have a service here at 9:30. It's going well. Right. I'll repeat that then. At 9:30 on Good Friday, we worship here together. And that's followed by the Churches Together open air worship on the triangle at 10:45. And then if you would like to come back here after that open air service, as long as you give your name to Jackie and book a place, there will be soup and cakes and coffee and tea at the minimum price of £5. So you're welcome to join us for that. Those of us who are early starters, Churches Together sunrise service at 6 o'clock in the morning, yeah, 6 o'clock in front of the pier. I might see you there. I might not see you there. But if you are there and I'm not, God bless you, okay? And then finally, we come back here for 10:30 for our great Sunday, Easter Sunday morning worship. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll give this back to the officer before it runs out. Okay.
Thank you, John. Good morning. It is good to welcome you to worship this morning. Let me share with you some words of Scripture as a call to worship, taken from Psalm 37. 4 and 5 says this: Be delighted with the Lord, then he will give you your heart's desire. Thank you to him to help you do it. And then moving on from verse 3, don't be impatient for the Lord to act. Keep travelling steadily along the pathway, and in due season he will honour you. The promise of Messiah into Jerusalem, yes, by Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, before it was fulfilled on Palm Sunday by Jesus. So let's stand together, shall we? We'll sing the song that accompanies the tune the band has already played. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. We'll sing the song straight through, if we may, please. Thank you. Thank you. continue on in our worship as we turn to song number 148. John's going to kindly help us by playing the piano. Make way for Christ the King. In splendor arise, fling wide the gates and welcome him into your lives. There are four verses. Let's sing this song straight through. Thank you. Let me invite you, please, to be seated. And as we do so, we're going to turn together to song number 373, Jesus Be the Centre. It's what worship is all about. It's not about us, not about necessarily meeting with friends, but meeting again with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Be the Centre. Lord knows what you've been doing this last week. He knows what's on your heart and your mind this morning as we gather together here for worship. He's aware of where our brothers and sisters are this morning who've not been able to gather with us. Those who are far from well, and we pray for healing. Those who are visiting family and friends. Those maybe who are here have got concerns for loved ones. Those preparing to enter hospital for an operation. I remember Paul Rivett today as he preaches at a church in Ipswich. We pray for those who currently have COVID and we ask for God's healing upon them. We ask God to bless Gemma and Martin and their family. They had to rush to Millie and to Adam. Thankfully, it's not as bad as they thought it was. But we just want to surround the whole family in our prayers at this time. But let's sing this lovely song together. Let's focus upon Jesus and place him at the very center of our worship this morning. Thank you. Let's share prayer together, shall we? Jesus, we're privileged to sit in your presence this morning. We want to take this time to reflect upon the events of this day, 2,000 years ago. The fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy about the Messiah coming riding upon a donkey, entering the city of Jerusalem as the King of Peace, to transform people's hearts and minds and the way they live and interacted with each other and with the kingdom of God. Father God, we still live in a sad, sin-sick world where men and women are suspicious of each other, where there is war and conflict, where there is illness, disease, drought and famine. And our world still needs to be transformed by the gentle touch of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you to come and to fill this place this morning and to bless those of us who've been able to come and to gather together as brothers and sisters. Lord, may everything that takes place this morning come together and make us aware of your presence and your ministry to our hearts and minds. We would pray for all those within our church fellowship who, for whatever reason, find themselves unable to be here. Lord, we want them to know that we uphold them before your throne of grace in prayer. We would ask for healing and restoration of health and strength. We'd ask that if they're sharing with family and friends, that Father God, they will enjoy their time together. For those who are discouraged and despondent, Lord, give us wisdom in how we might be vessels that might bring encouragement and hope to our brothers and sisters. We lay this morning before you and ask for a visitation of your Holy Spirit upon each heart bowed before you, that you will minister to us so that we might move from this place and be your ministers where you've placed us this coming week. Lord, we lay before you everything that has been prepared for this coming week. Those times of reflection that are going to be offered for people to be able just to come in and sit and to experience the various prayer stations. Lord, may this be an important week in our church life and our individual lives. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We're going to listen just now as the songsters bring their message to us. I will rejoice. Thank you.
rejoice that I got all the notes in the right order, in the right place. So thank you very much, songsters, for that. Our Bible reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 44. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king, it is headed. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Just as we looked at last week that Jesus set his face to Jerusalem, here he is arriving at Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why? Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the very stones will cry out.' For as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. You did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." And we'll look at those verses of scripture a little bit further on in our meeting. But before so, we have actually got a little illustration. It's my husband's favorite character, Douglas.
Hosanna! Jesus is the King! Hey guys, it's me again, Douglas. And at my church, we celebrate something called Palm Sunday. And that's where we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which was a really important city. And the prophets in the Old Testament, they said that the King of Israel, the coming Messiah, the Savior, was going to enter Jerusalem riding on a donkey's colt. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And so all the people, they were putting their coats down on the ground so the donkey wouldn't step in the dirt. And they got some branches that they laid down on the ground also, and they were waving them, and they were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest." And they were shouting all these things, you know, excited that the King of Israel had come. Jesus Christ was the King. And they were so excited about this, but the problem is that they thought Jesus was coming to save them from the Romans. You see, Israel had been taken over by another nation called the Romans, and they did not honor God. They didn't worship God. They had their own false gods that they worshipped, and they took over Israel, and they were in charge of them now, and the Israelites did not like this. They wanted to be in charge of themselves. They wanted to be able to have leaders who honored God. So they thought Jesus was going to come in, and he was going to save them from the Romans. But that's not what Jesus came to save them from. No, Jesus came to save them and us from sin and death, which is a much bigger deal than just the Romans, you know. This is huge. Jesus' plan, Jesus' mission was so much more important than just one country taking over another country. He was here to save the whole world. And the Israelites were fine with calling him their king so long as he was going to do things their way. But when he started saying things that they didn't agree with or starting to tell them that they needed to live a way that they didn't want to live, you know, when he started telling them that they needed to live God's way and not just their way, they abandoned him. One day they said he was their king, and the next day they said he's not our king because he wasn't going to do things their way. And I don't know about you, but if there's a group of people that says, this is our king, just so long as he does things our way, that's not really him being the king, that's them being their own king. And we can see the Israelites doing this, you know, where they, one minute, they are honoring Jesus as their king, and then the next minute, they're literally having him killed. We can look at them and say, man, you guys were really foolish. But you know what? I can be just like the Israelites. And I think you can too. I think we all can. You know, it's so easy to honor Jesus as our king when we're at church. You know, maybe once or twice a week. You know, we get together with our friends, and we're singing and praising God, and we're learning about God in the lesson time, and we're having a time of fellowship, and all these fun things that we do at church, and it's really easy to view God as king at church. Again, once or twice a week. Maybe you even go to church every single day, but that's only like an hour or two every day. But it can be so easy when we leave church to live like we're the king, not Jesus, to do things our own way. You know, Jesus, the stuff that Jesus tells us to do is not always easy, and it's definitely not always the thing that we want to do, you know. And Jesus says to love your enemies. That's not something that's easy to do. It can be so easy to live as if Jesus doesn't even exist, and so easy to live our lives as if he's not the king, but we are the king of our own lives. And so it's awesome. It's totally cool for you to praise God at church. I'm definitely not saying that there's anything wrong with that. That's an amazing thing that God wants us to do. But my challenge to you guys today, and it's not just for you, but it's for me too, is that we would honor Jesus Christ as the king of our lives every single day. That we would make the choice to submit to him, even when what he tells us to do is not necessarily what we want to do. That's when it's most important to submit to him, is those times when it's difficult. Jesus is not the king who's going to do everything our own way. He's the king who's going to do things the right way, his way. Jesus Christ is the king we need. So let's all shout Hosanna and glorify Jesus as the King of Kings. Hey guys, I hope you liked this video.
Hope you liked the video. But it's amazing, isn't it, to think that, yes, it's easy to proclaim Christ as King when we're here, when we're all together. But when we're on our own and somebody is questioning our faith, or somebody asks us to do something which is against what we believe. But sometimes we fall into that and say it's easier to say yes to them. And we don't uphold Christ as King. Well, we are going to have Sunday school today, but there's one very important person in our meeting today.
Yeah. Yep.
No, can you just sit down, please? It's not you. It's not you. Okay. Yeah. Felicity. Yeah, we have one member of Sunday school. Let's put it here. Oh, I wasn't as energetic as that climbing up onto the platform. Okay, so we're going to go out to Sunday school. Me, you, and Angela are going to come and help us. Okay, and we're going to have a fun time out there because we're going to think more about Palm Sunday. We're going to play a game. Pin the blanket on the donkey. Yeah, so if you want to come out and play a game of pin the blanket on the donkey, then you just follow us out and that. But we'll also do some pictures, and then we'll come back at the end and show them what we've done. Is that all right? Okay, I'll tell you what, would you like to share? Oh, wait, come on then. Yeah, sorry, there's two important people here today. Oh, yes. Stand up, there we are. Right, would you like to share a prayer over us? They'll need it more than me. Okay.
Are you okay? Have you had a good week? School holidays now? Who can remember school holidays? All right. Let's share a little prayer. Father God, we want you to bless these young people. Lord, may they have an exciting time, even though it's Katrina going out with them. We just pray they'll have lots of fun. And Lord, if everybody else goes and wants to join in and there's no sermon, well, we'll bless you for that as well. But Lord, we just want to thank you for this young family. Keep them safe, we pray. And bless them. And bless those members of our Sunday school who are not here now, but will be with us later at Messy Church. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I want to sing a little chorus as you go out. The chorus says, hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Now, this is an old chorus that I learnt when I was in Sunday school. And I hope you do know it. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Amen. Let's sing it together twice through. Thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. To praise the Lord for in our lives day by day. We're going to listen just now as the band contribute to our worship by playing the lovely tune, They Shall Come From the East, They Shall Come From the West. Thank you. Beautiful tune. Some very challenging words. They shall come from the east, they shall come from the west, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And none will ask what they have been, provided that their robes are clean. Palm Sunday. a prophecy 600 years old, says that the Messiah will come riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. The people of Jerusalem were used to the Romans and the various people who had been placed in charge of Palestine, the latest being Pilate, riding into Jerusalem, not on a donkey, but on a stallion. He was coming with the authority of Rome. And was simply saying, you are a conquered people. My culture, what Rome wants, is more important than your culture. Your faith means nothing in this Roman Empire. And the people, under heavy taxes, having to carry loads whenever a Roman soldier told them to carry a load, had to walk a mile even if it was in the wrong direction. And so they wanted this oppression to end. And their hopes and their expectations was that God is going to supply a saviour, a Messiah who would be a political Messiah, who would establish the throne of David again, and Israel would be a force to be encountered and reckoned with in the years to come. But yet that's not what Jesus had in mind, not what God had planned. The important thing is the first verses that Katrina read to us in chapter 19, verse 28, is after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem, and as he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples saying, first words after he said this, Jesus tells the parable about somebody who is going off and leaving his home and his resources to his servants, and he gives them various amounts in order to invest and for that investment to grow. Jesus is saying, listen, what are you doing with what I've given you? Every one of us has been given something, a talent, an ability. We have the account that simply says that at least two of them went and invested what they had, and upon their master's return, they had doubled what they had. And one had taken his one talent and buried it because he was frightened of his master, knowing that his master produced something from nothing. And when he presented to the master what he had hidden, the master was not happy. Listen, God has given us each something to do, something to contribute. We cannot afford to sit upon our gifts and talents and say, I'm not going to use it. As Douglas said, Jesus is either king or he's not. You're either part of the kingdom of God or you're not. There is no half measures. And Jesus comes. He sends his two disciples. Here's the challenge. We're not told which two he sends. But he says to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there which no one has ever ridden. untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. I wonder what the conversation was like between the two disciples as they went ahead of themselves into Bethpage. I want to suggest to you this morning that this account reminds us that Jesus has the finest, most smallest of details all sorted out. He'd made arrangements with the owner of the colt. It was not unknown for kings to actually hire what they needed. They didn't need to own it. If a king was going to go into a certain place as a conquering king, he would hire the stallion. And here's Jesus borrowing the beast of burden, the donkey. Because Jesus is taking upon himself and saying to the whole crowd who are gathered in Jerusalem, yes, I am the Messiah. Up until this point, when anybody asked who he was and identified him, he'd encouraged them to keep it quiet. Now was not the time to reveal to the world who I am. But here, on the edge of the mountains before going up to Jerusalem, Jesus was revealing who he was. He was the Messiah, not a conquering, warlike Lord, but he comes in peace to the people of Jerusalem. He comes to pay the price of their slavery, not to Rome, but their slavery to sin and separation from God. That's our biggest need. We need to know that our King delivers us, that he's humble and accepting of us. When the disciples bring the colt back, they lay their cloaks upon the back of the colt. You see, the colt has never been ridden. It's unbroken, unused. This is symbolic of the holiness of the people of God, who God will choose to use in ministry. Just look around us. I don't think there's any lords or ladies or sirs amongst us. If there are, I apologize for not knowing that and recognizing that. My take upon you is that you and I are ordinary people, humble people, who are gifted in so many ways. And we have been privileged to encounter Jesus, often through the lives of family or Sunday school teachers. There are people who have influenced us and have brought us into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Jesus comes to us humbly, wanting to be Lord of our lives. 2,000 years ago, there was only one Lord, and his name was Caesar. And the Christians, when they began their early church, changed that favorite saying of the Roman Empire, Caesar is Lord. They said, no, Jesus is Lord. We do not have two masters. We serve only one master. And that master is humble and gentle. He comes to us to bring healing and hope, to give us strength when we face the challenges that face us. And as these disciples follow Jesus, they begin to lay down their cloaks upon the road and cut down palm branches and begin to wave them and to sing the praises of God. Hosanna! God save us! Glory to God in the highest. You could get the impression that the whole of Jerusalem was praising God that day. I don't think that's the case. I think what we have here is two and a half million people coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, and Jesus' disciples begin to praise him. And the Jewish people who are gathering, who have heard about Jesus, seen his ministry, are caught up in the praise, because this man has raised the dead. This man speaks with authority that not even the Jewish leaders have. This man has calmed storms. He has fed thousands. He has transformed families and communities. I want to say to you that where Jesus is concerned, nobody is left with a sense of indifference. You're either going to love him and follow him, or hate him and want to destroy him. Go down to verse 39. You see some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." That's why I say it's the disciples who have started the praise of the Messiah as he arrives in Jerusalem. "I tell you," says Jesus, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." That's not the rock band, but the stones alongside the road will cry out. And then look at verse 41. As he approaches Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Amongst all this joy and celebration, Jesus looks upon the city of Jerusalem, the capital city of the people of God. And he sees, in fact, it's John's gospel that says, Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. Have you ever been rejected? Not wanted? Jesus comes to his own, and his own do not recognize him, do not want him. In fact, they want him dead. And this crowd, this 2.5 million people of Jewish men and women, today praising and asking God to save. But 5 days hence, these same people will be the ones who, when Jesus and Barabbas are brought before them, and Pilate wants to release Jesus because he can find nothing wrong with him, the crowd are stirred up by the Jewish leaders to call for Barabbas to be released. A known rogue, thief, murderer, and for innocence to die. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Let's be careful that we're not fickle in our love for Jesus one moment and our curse and denial of him in the next. I don't want us to be too judgmental of those people, because I think within each of us there can be the tendency to both love and to hate or dislike. We want to love God, to serve Jesus. We're grateful for our salvation, but we want the freedom to do our own thing in our own way when we want to do it, and not to do it when we don't want to do it. And Jesus is simply saying, if you want to follow me, you need to take up the cross. There's a cross for each and every one of us. And it's not the nice little gold studded one that we hang around our necks, or the wooden one we hold in our hand. It's the burden for the lost that God lays upon each and upon every one of us. Not to say that we've got it all together, but to simply say, listen, there is a Saviour who can take your life and turn it around. Who can say to the hopeless, there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth and as many chances as you need in Jesus Christ. Jesus never gives up on any one of us. Jesus comes, still comes humbly to you and to me. The question is, what do you want? And what will you do with Jesus? I'd like us to take a few moments. I'm going to listen to a lovely song being played for us on the screen. It simply says, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. When we come to the end of what we think we can do, God's ministry through Jesus has just begun. If it will be helpful to come and use this place of prayer this morning, you're invited to do so. Come with something in your hand and we won't disturb you. If you come without anything, somebody will come and join with you and ask you if you would like prayer. Jesus enters Jerusalem. But more importantly, he wants to enter your heart and my heart, your life and my life afresh today. Thank you.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way.
Let's sing it together. Be here tonight. You may think God has forgotten you about your situation, but He hasn't. The Bible says that we are inscribed on the palm of His hand. And heaven and earth may pass away, but His word will remain forever. And He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think tonight. Amen. Let's sing it.
Oh God, make a way. There seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. For each new day, He will make a way. He will make a
Amen. Let's listen to the tune once more, then I wonder if there's somebody who would pray with us this morning. Thank you, John. Amen. Someone to pray with us, please. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Julia, for your prayer. Let's stand together, shall we? We're going to turn to song number 225. Lovely words there of Thomas Kelly. Jesus comes, let all adore him. Lord of mercy, love and truth. Now prepare the way before him. Make the rugged places smooth. Through the desert, mark his road. Make a highway for our God. Let's stand together and we'll sing together the first two verses. Thank you. I invite you please to be seated as our young people share with us what they've done in Sunday school. Thank you.
All right, so
that's on.
So today we were looking at
the story of Jesus entering in Jerusalem. Okay? Now did he enter on a bus?
No.
Did he go on a motorbike?
No.
Oh, did he arrive on a camel?
No.
Yes. Okay, how did he arrive? He rode on a...
donkey.
And here we've made our donkeys. There we are. So with the people, we've put a blanket over the donkey and they've put the clothes and the palm branches on the donkey. And they did enjoy their game of pin the blanket on the donkey. And it's still up there and there are still some blindfolds and they can all have a go, can't they? Yes. Excellent. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm going to be standing and watching and see if any of you put the blindfold on and have a go. Let's stand together, shall we, and sing together the last two verses. Jesus comes where thorns have flourished. Trees shall now be seen to grow, established by the Lord, unnourished, strong and fair and fruitful too. They shall rise on every side, spread their branches far and wide. Let's stand together to sing 4 and 5, please. Thank you.
Jesus, Lord, 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 Lord,
And together, Father God, guide us and teach us, strengthen us and sustain us. Lord, we ask that until we become your people, pure, gentle and truthful, loving, courageous and generous, may your Holy Spirit stay with us and empower us to be your people here on earth till Jesus comes or calls. Amen. Amen. Good morning and God bless you.